Governor, it's my privilege to be here. I can't tell all of you how delighted I've been to be a part of this review process. I think I should tell you that I'm not going to give a speech, so that you, if you saw I had a manuscript there, you won't be alarmed, because it's still over there and I'm over here. But I think that I should say that that I now reaffirm everything that I said in the preface to Victor Fisher's book about the importance of the job you did, the importance of the Alaska Constitutional Convention, and the importance of the Alaska Constitution, and I add to it the importance of the experience subsequent to that, to the whole American governmental system. I'm sure that all of you know that what you've done has been a part of a process which is part of the most unusual and probably the most important contribution which America has made to the art of government. That is the drafting of the basic law by a special body chosen by the people for that exclusive purpose and submitting to the people the result of their work for ratification. The uniqueness of this contribution is illustrated by the fact that the first time that American state constitutions were published in compiled form, they were published in the French language and distributed in 1778 in Paris under the good offices of Benjamin Franklin, and subsequently in another edition made as presentation pieces to the monarchs and all of the leaders of Europe. All of this before 1787, when the United States Constitution was drafted. So you've been a part of a process which is truly American, and which it seems to me very few people in our country realize is an extremely adroit way for the whole process of popular sovereignty to be exercised. The trauma with which the first constitutional conventions emerged in that period between the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia is a story which I urge any of you who have a urge to read history should look into. I was asked to talk about the future of the states, and people have been talking about the future of the states since before the advent of independence. And the most significant way in which the future of state government is projected is in the constitutional convention process. You know this better than I. I have a little presentation which perhaps will eventually be distributed, in which I make some observations about the evolution of the states and the fact that for a time everyone was suggesting that the states were an archaic enterprise, an archaic institution, and then I think that all of you would agree that within the last several years, certainly within the last 10 years, there's been a reaffirmation of the affirmative role of the states, and I must say that part of that is because of the contribution which you all made in beginning what I consider to be the affirmative new look in constitutions, which came with the adoption of your constitution. I've been in almost all of the constitutional conventions since yours. And the influence of how you did it and what you did has been profound. I just would like to conclude by reading a couple of paragraphs which do appear in my talk, and which express my feelings. Those of you who drafted the Alaska Constitution a generation ago rejected the answer which many then would have honestly given to the question, what shape are the states in? Pitiful, passive, impoverished. Your vision for Alaska was a vision which is widely shared today, that the states now have moved to the front of contemporary intergovernmental action, and generally they have assumed a proud, positive, and potent position in the system. So said Dave Walker, who's the assistant director of the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations and one of the constant observers of the American federal system. This, your group assembled here, leaders of Alaska in the 1970s, and including many of the founders, those who had a part in the creation of the state in the 50s and in the framing of the legal foundation of the state. I am sure that others who have joined you in shaping the exciting events of the two succeeding decades agree that the framers provided a sound and durable constitutional base which is meeting the test of flexibility and adaptability to an ever-changing scene. Although there are many different views here on exactly what the future of the states and of this state in particular should be, I'm sure that all of you will agree with Neil Pierce when he addressed the 1976 National Governors Conference. In a spirit of confidence and self-resolve lies the best hope that the states can grow as strong, resilient elements of American federalism in the nation's third century. This spirit is abundantly evident here in Fairbanks in 1976, as it was in 1955 and 1956. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Bill Casella. Those words were really appreciated. And now we'll come to the time when we will call on the delegates to make their comments on the reports of the different committee chairmen or on any other matters that they deem advisable. If you could hold your comments as briefly as possible in the interest of, because of the time limitations, we'd appreciate it. But I think rather than we'll change the format a little bit and start at the end of the alphabet rather than in the beginning, and we would like to call on then a distinguished lady who was one of our fine delegates to the Constitutional Convention, Mrs. Ada Wien. And I'm told by the people who set up the microphones that you're free to use the microphones in the aisle were set up for your convenience. If you would rather use the microphone here, you can come here. So you may, Ada, you may use either microphone. Mrs. Wien.
President Bill, I do not think that it's fair for you to invoke new rules in getting off the alphabetical list. I would rather have the last say, and I'm in. I was in the habit of getting up after Barry White. However, I might have one or two from a layman's point of view remarks to make. On the Resources Committee yesterday, I was impressed by the remarks of Tim Wallace, or the response of Tim Wallace, when he was asked questions of, what do you think of this provision? Do you think there should be changes? And all of the way through, his presentations were very thoughtful and, I hope, representative of the thinking of his corporation. And he constantly made the remark, no, I don't think that should be changed. We can live with that. We have no complaint with the resources article. And to me, that was very encouraging. Another thing that I did not mention yesterday that sort of influenced my voting all through the convention was a thought in the Resources Committee that we were attempting to do the greatest good for the greatest number of people over the greatest period of time. And that thought helped me decide on many issues, not only in the resources article, but throughout the convention. And it was brought up yesterday by a member of the resource panel that if there was any complaint with the Constitution, it was that we were thinking of the past and the present and not of the future. And I assure you, that was not so. President Egan, you may not appreciate this further comment, but last evening I was sitting by George Lee Leitner when you made the suggestion of elected judgeships. And he said, before the state comes to that, I wish they would come to my state and see the terrible mess that such a ruling has made. Thank you.
I think we could seesaw here and ask Reverend Roland Armstrong to be the next in line. Delegate Armstrong, as you know, contributed tremendously to the basic law that we have in this constitutional document.
President Egan, I've heard of the Alpha and the Omega, but I didn't know it was going to come out here on a Sunday morning. And I thought that I was going to be last, and I was going to say this. There is not only a preamble, but there is a prologue. We, the people of Alaska, grateful to God and to those who founded our nation and pioneered this great land in order to secure and transmit to succeeding generations our heritage of political, civil, and religious liberty within the Union of States, within the Union of States, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the state of Alaska. Thank God it is established.
Yes, Mr.
We should request that the delegates use the other mic, please. Or up front.
Yes. Delegate Buckaloo would be next. Would you like to make a few comments, Buck? From up here would be better with the mic.
I'm going to be extremely brief. When I speak without notes, it makes my wife nervous. I have, on occasion, disagreed with Mr. President, and on occasion I have expressed my disagreement. But I think even the president of the Constitutional Convention certainly has the freedom of expression. The Bill of Rights, I think, would apply to Mr. President. And although I disagree with him, I certainly have no argument with his taking a position. I have enjoyed coming back, and I enjoyed the comments of Ada Wien and all the other delegates, including Delegate Marston. I hope that he'll put his snowshoes on and tread the great rivers before we adjourn sine die. Thank you.
Thank you. And Barry White, Delegate White, would you care to make a few comments?
Having learned that sometime governors have the same problem I do, I hope you won't object to my shuffling some hastily written notes. While retaining my right to disagree with him, may I reaffirm very strongly this morning my belief in the right of a man to say what he thinks at any time or place and upon any platform that's available to him. May I say that I admire and like any man who has the courage of his convictions, and that I understand that it is not always easy to express those convictions. Now, may I tell you some of the things I do not believe in. I do not believe in making practicing politicians of our attorney general, the heads of boards or commissions or departments, or our judges. I do not believe in five branches of government or 10 or 15 branches of government. I do believe in three branches of government, each as strong as possible and each equally accountable. Turning to another tack, I do not philosophically believe in government by referendum. I do not believe in the earmarking of revenues, however beguiling the reason at the moment may be. And while I do not believe that any constitution is embedded in concrete, believe me, I'll never believe that, or that it can be good without being changeable, which seems to me self-evident. Nor do I believe that bad laws or good laws can be improved by being embedded in whatever stickum a constitution consists of. Finally, I do not believe that constitution making is merely a higher or a different degree of legislating or lawmaking. It is a horse of an entirely different color, as I fear some people may have to learn the hard way. I had penned a few notes before dinner last night, and I'll be very brief. Mr. President, I share with you and our fellow delegates the vivid memories of those 75 days 20 years ago, one of those rare occasions in life when upon arising to go to work each morning, one said to oneself, "This is exciting, this is important." We all felt it. Mr. President, I came here as a statehood activist, and without any continuing experience or responsibility in government, I would like to play that role briefly today. As the next to youngest delegate, I would like to address my thoughts to the young of Alaska and to relate what I regard as the single most important aspect of what happened here 20 years ago to their future and that of all mankind. In an experience shared by thousands of others, I came to Alaska after flying in the South Pacific and finishing my education in New England, and I was shocked to learn what I had not known before, that as an Alaskan American, I was deprived of what I had been brought up to believe were my basic rights: to taxation with representation, to vote for my president, to have voting representation in the Congress, to vote for my governor, and to conduct the affairs properly Alaskan without dictation from Washington or veto by the Congress. And so to those of you who were not born then or who were too young to have shared that experience, may I submit that the most exciting, the most important thing that happened here 20 years ago and subsequently in voting booths all across the territory of Alaska may be expressed very simply in one word: freedom. A ringing latter-day Declaration of Independence by one group of Americans to their fellow Americans, their president, and their Congress. By this resolution, even received 16 votes on the floor of the convention 20 years. If after the people of Alaska ratify this constitution, Alaska has not been admitted as a state before the fourth Monday in January 1959, how prophetic, the territorial legislature shall provide for the election of officers under this constitution and for proclaiming the date on which the constitution shall become effective. Anarchy? Yes. Secession? Possibly. In any event, a very serious business. But it was serious business we were about. Heady business. It was, and it is, and it always will be, a vital business. And so to those of us who tried to serve you here 20 years ago, and all Alaskans who then gained for you your rights as Americans, we ask you to remember your uniquely Alaskan heritage. As we pause to reflect upon what happened here 20 years ago, how it has been working, and how it might be improved, it is vital for you always to remember that the whole process is that of a free people. In a world where the freedom of self-expression and self-government is vanishing at an alarming rate, an enlightened future for you and for all mankind demands that you work always to protect and enhance yours, and that you do your best to help others gain it and keep it. If you do not, collectively, at least, you are going to lose it. Mr. President, my fellow delegates, it is always, shall always remain one of my most cherished memories to have served here with you.
Thank you, Delegate Barry White, for those stimulating remarks. That's just an extension of the tremendous contribution you made 20 years ago. Now I'd like to call on Delegate Jack Boswell to make a few remarks. Jack.
Well, I kind of like Bill's new roll call system starting. when I always had to make up my mind real quickly, because there were only three votes ahead of me: Armstrong, Oz, Barr, and Boswell. Well, I have enjoyed this meeting, or this series, and I'm real happy that our Constitution has turned out so well. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. You know, I want to extend my apologies to the next delegate I'm going to call upon. I was thinking of Dorothy as Dorothy Holland, but I'm going to call upon Dorothy Oz, who really did make tremendous contributions in many ways to the drafting of the document that is the Constitution of Alaska. Dorothy, would you come forward, please?
President Egan and other delegates, relatives, and friends. My remarks are going to be very brief. I hadn't planned on making a speech. Oh, just 2-3 months ago, I was in a gathering of about 15 people, and the subject came up of what has been the most interesting or important thing that you think has happened to you. And my contribution was that one of the biggest highlights of my life was to have served at the Constitutional Convention. I still feel that way. I think I always will. And another very important thing was to attend this convention now. I think it's been very worthwhile. It's been very informative. And certainly it hasn't been theoretical. I heard much in the discussions that helped me to vote on the proposed constitutional amendments on the ballot November 2nd. I might comment that I found Bill Egan's speech interesting last night. I'm not saying I agree with all of it. I do have one regret, and that is that he didn't share these thoughts with us at the beginning rather than the end of the convention, because I think they would have added considerable debate and substance, very meaningful debate and substance, to all the conferences and workshops that we had yesterday. But otherwise, I think I have no more to say except that I found this gathering very interesting, very meaningful, and I'm sure that the rest of you feel the same.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
And now it's my pleasure to call upon a delegate who contributed tremendously towards the drafting all the way through in the committee sessions and in the final drafts of the Alaska's Constitution, and in so many other ways. He was always a bundle of energy and intellect in providing the best that was possible to all the delegates. George Sundborg, Delegate Sundborg.
Mr. President, fellow delegates, not uncharacteristically, I had something to say at each of the workshops yesterday that I attended. And so I won't say very much here today, but I think there is one overall aspect of government, of our existence here in Alaska as a state, which has not turned out too very well. And I don't know how we could have cured this by something we might have done at the Constitutional Convention, but I think it has been particularly evident to me because of my subsequent career, where I served as the administrative assistant to Senator Ernest Greening in the United States Senate for 10 years. The area from which all of our candidates for statewide office in Alaska now come, and in fact all five statewide offices which are subject to election are filled from this area, is the legislature. In the early days, with a different background, we had a Greening, we had a Bartlett, we had a Wade, none of whom had ever served in a territorial legislature or in any other legislative body. But now it seems that all of our governors, both of our United States senators, our one United States representative, and the lieutenant governor, if they haven't been in the Alaska legislature, they don't have the publicity, the access to the media, and the prominence with which to stand for office. And I want to say that had the elections turned out differently in each of these cases last time, and the nominee of the other party had been elected, we still would have had five former Alaska legislators serving in the five elective offices in the state. I don't know what we can do about it. Maybe Bill does have a point in saying we ought to have some other elective offices so that we could bring out some other people and maybe shuffle them up toward the top and very important offices, especially the offices of U.S. Senator and Governor, by some other way than what we have been doing. I don't think that the legislature is the best battleground or the best cockpit from which to select our statewide officials. And I think we need to look at what we have as a result of this. I think that no one would say that we are served by the very best in Alaska today. I don't want to mention any names or cast any aspersions, but there's something wrong with the process when we get some of the kind of state elective people that we do. I certainly, yesterday I said something about how we worked so very hard in the Constitutional Convention, and that there weren't more than one or two bums there who just didn't do much of anything. And when I got through, Yul Kilcher got up and denounced me for having said this. He thought I was talking about him. Of course, We all know that if there's anybody who worked overtime and all the time, it was Ewell, and I didn't have him in mind at all. I love you all. It was a marvelous experience. None of us are ever going to forget any part of it. I think that this past 3 days has been another marvelous experience, and may we do it again as long as we live. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And now we would like to call on Delegate Jack Coghill. Coghill, as you know, contributed very much to, in respect to several of the articles, very heavy on the education side, and we're happy to hear from you, Jack.
Thank you, Bill. You know, last night when you gave your speech, I thought you were my floor manager of 1960. But I think that times change, and the fact that the Constitutional Convention review of 20 years really gives an awful lot of strength to the document that we have, that it is a living document, that it can be criticized and that it can be opened up. And we're fortunate that there are as many of the original drafters as we have here today. I could go on for 2 or 3 hours as to some of the things that are wrong, some of the misdirections that have been made, some of the perimeters that we established in the Constitutional Convention that might necessarily have gone astray. And I think that they haven't gone astray as far as the Constitution is concerned. It's just that it's the inception or the conception that the individuals that are in power at the particular time wish to take. And I think that that is part of the greatness of the Constitution, is that it gives you an area where that you can go way over to the conservative or to the representative republic side, or you can go way over into the liberal or get into the area where that strong central government takes over. I think that all of this relies on leadership, and I think Tom Stewart hit it right on the head, is the type of leadership that you have in your legislative branches. And I think that in the executive branch that we have an area. So I don't think that there's really too much criticism on the Constitution itself, because of the fact that the people haven't really cut it up. They haven't used or exhausted the reason for the amendments, you know, for amending the Constitution. George Sundberg was just prior to me, and I think that in our whole discussion, one of the areas that we should really recognize was his ability to be able to take all of these massive pieces and documents that we had and in the Style and Drafting Committee and be able to fold it out and put it into a very workable and readable document. One point, and then I'll sit down, and that is that I think that the Constitution was very strong on individualism, that we looked at the individual and the right of the individual as being the prime function of government. I think we've lost sight of this, because in today's, we don't have the checks and balances in there as to how big our government has grown and how strong our bureaucracy has gotten. Because if you look at it, you take a good, strong look at our government today, we have not only three branches of government, but we've added that fourth. And that's that insulated bureaucracy that is doing all of the things that are necessary for the society. And there's only one place to lay the blame, and it's not on the framers of the Constitution, but on a lazy legislature. Because when the legislature will pass a law and then say, and we will give the Department of Natural Resources or the Department of Education the right to promulgate the rules and regulations, and the next thing you know, every morning when you get up and put your pinkies on the floor, you've broke some kind of a rule or regulation. I think one of our weaknesses in the Constitution is we didn't have a check on big government and bureaucracy, which is removed from the elective system that we have so well put into the document. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Jack Coghill. And now we would like to hear from another lady who really contributed from morning till night for each of the 75 days the convention was in session, Catherine Nordiel was also very helpful to many of the other delegates. She's a very strong-minded person, but at the same time a very, very fair person of great ability. Catherine?
I told you.
Better get John Helms.
I shall be brief, and I want to make one remark that has occurred to me a few times, and I don't know whether it's appropriate to do it or not. But I've listened to these suggestions that have been made in a couple of the reports from the various workshops. And there seems to be a feeling that there should be something in the Constitution about the natives and the native rights. When we were at the convention, we were just talking about people. There was no feeling, there was no intimation. In fact, we became indignant if anybody intimated that there was any difference between one Alaska citizen and another. It's been great to be here. And wonderful to meet all our old friends.
Thank you, Catherine. Yes, Mr. Hurley?
Before Nordiel leaves, would she come up? Now, I have a special order of business. Just take about 1 minute.
Catherine, could you come back here, please? Catherine?
Yeah. Fiscal responsibility. We had the meeting the other night. Catherine was appointed to take charge of finding the money that Chief Laws had, Delegate Laws had lost someplace.
I should come over here.
We were able by Bill and I and a few others by diligent work able to find that. So the money was deposited in the Miners and Merchants Bank in Fairbanks, which is now the Alaska National Bank of the North. And President Murkowski is here now to tell us how much money we have. Is he here? Please. Please. Here he comes. So I'm going to let he and because you're the official treasurer and you're going to get the money.
Okay, just I want to tell you that it was Les Narrowland that chased it down.
Yeah, Frank.
My remarks obviously are limited to the members of the 55 Club. But as I understand it, a savings account was opened in Nome in 1956. And during your convention, why the whereabouts of the $500 deposit came up for considerable discussion. Now, in Nome, we have our vault in the permafrost. And the first message that went out to the whereabouts of those funds didn't really receive a satisfactory answer because we've got a new manager up there, and he just looked in the vault. And when I got a hold of him, I told him to look carefully, and he moved some of the salmon away in the frost, and he found your $500. Now, I'm very proud to present this check to you, which arrived this morning by dog team from Nome. Now, it's payable to the head fellow of the 55 Club. That's borrowing some terminology from your master ceremonies last night. So, Catherine, please, I apologize for the address on it. It should have been the head fellows or whatever the feminine gender is. At any rate, the check totals $1,099.96. Now, this includes interest compounded in Nome, and I didn't spend too much time trying to rework it. I assume that's your job. I just want to leave you with one thought, that this is living proof that you can double your money by letting Alaska National Bank keep your assets frozen for 20 years. We want to thank you for the business. We apologize for the inconvenience in not promptly giving you an accounting of your funds. However, we have arranged with the Board of Trade to purchase all the members of the 55 Club around at your convenience the next time you're in Nome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One of my purposes in living the last 20 years has finally been accomplished. Now I think there should be action by the 55 Club to name me the head fellow so that I can cash the check.
Unanimous consent is asked that Catherine Nordale be officially named the head fellow. Is there a hearing no objection? Catherine, you're the head fellow.
Thank you all.
It's really... Now we'd like to call on Mr. George Cooper, another delegate who was very active and who contributed much to the evolving of the Alaska's Constitution. George?
Thank you, Bill. And all the references to sex in the Constitution, that's it. Now we have a female fellow. Ms. Fellow, huh? Well, my only concern at this point in time, after listening the last two or three days, is the tendency by some, and very active, of jumping into an amendment. And I want to point out yesterday, a very learned panel member, a professor, said that in the natural resources item, he could clean it all up with just the insertion of a couple of words and a deletion of one. And I really want to point out why I get concerned about amendments if there isn't a lot of time and thought spent on it. He said, it is Section 1, Statement of Policy of Natural Resources. He could really straighten this all out by the addition of a couple of words. It is the policy of the state to encourage the settlement of its land and development of its resources. What he wanted to say was, and what he proposed in conversation, it is the policy of the state to encourage the settlement and care. I don't know whether you want to love it to death or groom it to death. And sooner or later, that would be the problem. But it was sure good to see all of you, and I really, well, it's always been a great honor.
George,
Bill, good luck.
To have you back.
Good luck to all of you.
Thank you, George Cooper. Now we'd like to call on Les Nerlin, one of the outstanding citizens of this community and a longtime businessman of Alaska, and one of the delegates who also contributed much to what is the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
Bill, I'm sure all the my fellow delegates can still remember that I am a man of few words, and I don't mean like the man whose wife accused him of talking too much, and he said, why, dear, you know that I'm a man of few words. And she said, yes, but you keep using them over and over again. I would like to pay a little tribute to two of our delegates today. One of them is W.W. Chief Laws, who was a delegate from Nome and was somehow named treasurer of the this 55 Club Fund. And I think the reason he was named the treasurer was that it was not known that he ever voted yes during the convention. He always voted no. So he was considered to be a good guardian of the funds. And as we have learned today, why, his principles certainly have paid off more than double-fold. I'd also like to express my appreciation, and I'm sure it will reflect the appreciation of all the delegates, to Vic Fisher for his generating of the idea of holding this reunion. I know of a number of obstacles that came up that would have discouraged probably a less persevering man. But I think the convention, as it has proven in the last few days, has just been a wonderful thing for all of us. And I think Vic Fisher is entitled to a great volume of thanks for having persevered in this matter. It's been very gratifying to be here and to observe from the comments that have been made how well the Constitution has aged during the past 20 years, and to learn how highly respected it is throughout the country. And again, I want to say that it's been a great pleasure being here at this reunion. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Les. Now I'd like to call upon another delegate, Delegate Ed Davis. Ed was a distinguished lawyer for many, many years in Alaska. He's served with great distinction as a Superior Court judge for a long, long time, and his contribution to this Constitution is something that will never be forgotten either.
Mr. President and Governor Bill, ladies and gentlemen, members of the Constitutional Convention, there really isn't much that one can add to what has been said here this morning, with maybe one exception. I haven't heard anybody mention that very emotional moment when we signed the Constitution of the State of Alaska. You remember, we were all gathered there. We had muktuks, Eskimo lamp with the jade lamp. You remember that? You remember we had the Choir of the North, the university, that sang Alaska's flag? One of the most emotional moments that I can remember. I thoroughly enjoyed the convention. I have thoroughly enjoyed the time we spent here the last 3 days. I thank Vic for arranging it. Certainly, I thank all of you who have come here, and it was nice meeting and greeting the folks, some of whom I haven't seen since that time 20 years ago. 20 years?
Yes. 20
years
ago. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Delegate Ed Davis. And now we'd like to hear from that great man that all of us know so well and love so well, Muktuk Marston, who was a delegate whose contributions were manyfold. Muktuk, we'd like to hear from you. And, Muktuk has his grandson here with him this morning.
So. Mr. President, fellow delegates, I'm happy to be back here. And when we wrote that Constitution and the people of Alaska accepted it, and Washington, D.C., or the Union accepts us, one of the states, I thought we were a sovereign people. And to be a sovereign people is a great thing. This is the last place in the world where a sovereign people are running the government by their people. But we are not sovereign people. The federal government is bearing right down on us harder now than before we were a state. And I'm not happy about it. It's a situation we have here. I thought we were a sovereign people, and to be a sovereign people is great. Now, the federal government is right here, right hard on us. What I worry about, I attended the Resources Committee here yesterday, and there were bureaucrats running it on the government payroll, and I think, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize, but I think they're all for turning over one-third of Alaska to be tied up forever. called D2 Lens. And that's one-third of Alaska. It gives me a nostalgic feeling to take away one-third of the great state of Alaska and tie it up. You can't hunt for oil or gas or minerals. One time, national security took priority over everything. Today, on this one-third of Alaska that they're going to lock up, it's going to be done if we don't stop it. I think the Sierra Club has taken priority over national security. When we can't go into this one-third of Alaska and develop the resources we need, oil and gas and mineral, then we're not watching out for national security. And I've got one other thing I want to say, Mr. President. We got a great constitution, and I think it's great, and it is great. But I don't like our legislature we're sitting down there. They're young people, nothing against that. Inexperienced people. 30 of them have no income, except they get from the state and so forth. And they're passing our money out and our regular laws without qualifications. And I'll tell you how to cure that. Only one way. Move the capital where the people are so businessmen can go to that capital and work. They can't go down to Juneau and stay 4 or 5 months and lose their business. That's why we got a lot of inexperienced people down there. I think that's important. And I don't want to see one-third of Alaska locked up on that D2 lands. And the group yesterday here, I think we're all for that. We got to get up and fight back. I'm very happy to be a citizen of the state of Alaska. And we are a sovereign people, but we've got to express our rights. I'm happy to meet you, Mr. President, and I'll say goodbye to you now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Delegate M.R. Marston. Very happy to have you here. Next, we'd like to call on another distinguished lady who contributed to many of the articles, numerous articles, and numerous provisions of the Constitution, one who served not only as a constitutional delegate, but several terms in the Alaska legislature. Helen Fisher, we'd like to have you with your observations. Representative Helen Fisher and Delegate Helen Fisher.
You know, all during the Constitution, I didn't say one word. If you go through that book, you won't find Helen Fisher except for voting. I was scared to death. I sat between the two rivers. Great men, a fisher between two rivers. But here was Vic, who was to me a governmental mind, a genius, and here was the great amender, Ralph. And I was panicked, scared to death. But after serving in the legislature a few terms, I haven't been that shy. I tried to look back to see what contribution I really made to the convention. And I know a lot of my fellow delegates think nothing. But I did one thing. Steve McCutcheon lived across the door from me. Chris across the hall from me. And every night that I went home, I'd go through other constitutions, and at that time I was a unicameral bug. I no longer, after one term, feel that way. And I was thinking, what can we do to override the governor's veto? We had never been able to override the governor's veto because the veto message went back to the Senate. And I thought, well, we've got to do something. And this was 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was a light burning under Steve McCutcheon's door, and I knocked on the door, and he was doing some taping as usual. He did a lot of tape recording, and I said, Steve, why can't we meet in joint session? You know, the House, most newly elected, and the Senate, and then if the veto is really bad, we sure ought to be able to override it. He said, hell, Helen, we'll never get it through. And I said, well, let's try it. It went through, it passed the Constitutional Convention by one vote. That is why today, that when it comes to an overriding of a governor's veto, we sit in joint session and we've been able to override a few of them. I'd only like to say one thing more. I am disturbed about amending the Constitution without enough information to the general public. I don't think the general public today is aware of what the permanent fund really is, or how it's going to affect, or what the results are going to be. I don't know, and I was there. I think a few years ago on limited entry, everybody, you know, we get a flame and we carry it through, and then all of a sudden we find out, is it good for our people or isn't it good for our people? And I don't think that these things have been thoroughly discussed in the papers. I think people are going to vote very blindly on them. One more thing, I attended, of course, the legislative committee, which was the darling to me, and I think the legislative article is terrific as it now stands. I think it all depends upon the people you elect, and that the rules that they adopt when they go down there as to the type of legislature they are going to run. I don't know whether we need a 90-day session law. If they don't do something about it, we damn well better. But if they'll just take the Constitution and we get people who are really serious about going down there, and I think the bad part of it is these long sessions are taking away a good many prospective people. But other than that, I would say that I'm very proud of the legislative article. I'm very proud of all the articles of the Constitution. And it just remains for them to be able to, for us to see that they're rightly instigated. I want to say it's been great seeing all of you again. Everybody says, you know, it's been 20 long years. I guess my eyesight's growing dim. I don't think any of you have aged. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Delegate Helen Fisher. Now we'd like to call on a gentleman, a delegate, John McNeese, who was from Nome at the time, representing the Great Northwest area. John, too, was active throughout the convention and was there tirelessly from morning till night. And as you will remember, many of you, he was the leading advocate of the unicameral system, which received much discussion and debate on the convention floor. John, we're happy to have you
President
here with
Bill. I would like to say that assignment on unicameralism was an assignment. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I felt it was necessary to have it aired. And as you all know, we have needed the bicameral system during the post-constitutional era. That really wasn't what I came up here to say, but you raised a question. I also had a terrific time here. It's been great. It's almost like coming home to family. Secondarily, I would like to say that it is a delight to see the participation by the students, by the government officials, by the general citizenry, by the faculty on the campus here in this constitutional review. I think it's been very, very worthwhile. I sat yesterday with three students from the journalism class. One of them said, but we're only freshmen. Well, I remember when 55 freshmen came here in the year 1955. It won't be long before we'll be turning the reins over to those very young people that we sat here with yesterday and through this convention. It's important that this be aired publicly, and I hope these records that have come out of this are not put into the archives someplace, but are left out in circulation where the general public can see it and use it. It's been very worthwhile being here, President Bill. It's also a pleasure to see the participation on the campus among the student body, and I've seen them in here with our native peoples of Alaska, our Aboriginals. It was my pleasure to serve in the last Territorial Senate with an Eskimo in the president's chair of the Senate, Bill Belz. It was my pleasure to serve in the first state legislature with the Tlingit Indian in the chair of the first state Senate as our president. They have a role to play. They'll earn that role, and they'll do it well. I think the opportunity ahead for Alaska, for the Native, as well as for us who have come along later, is going to be tremendous. We'll watch it carefully. Hope to be back among you to participate in it. I thank you.
Thank you, John. Yes, and while we've had Jim Dugan here explaining the forum that on local government, we would like to call on Delegate Jim Dugan again for a few observations. Jim?
President Bill, Vic Fisher told me that they were going to pass me up, and I was delighted that I wasn't going to have to come down here again. I don't think that there's anything that I can add to what has already been said. Barry White and Les Nerland were always a hard act to follow at the convention. They'd be a hard act to follow today. I agree entirely with their comments. And my last remark is that I sincerely hope that another reunion will be called in the not too distant future, and I mean any time from 5 years on, and that all of us will be able to meet again here, and hopefully many of those that are not with us today will be able to attend at that time.
Thank you. And now we'd like to call upon Delegate Maynard Longborg. Reverend Longborg and his wife came all the way from Minnesota to be here with this gathering. I'd like to say, too, that Jack Boswell and his wife came from South 48 to be here, Roland Armstrong and John McNeese. But, Maynard, we're very happy to have you, and we're sure appreciative of the contributions you made to the constitutional document.
Mr. President, fellow delegates, citizens of Alaska, it's really a thrill to be back. It's difficult to speak without getting emotional. It's a lot of things that I've learned these days. I've learned the importance of cold cash, and I think of the way we saw that fund grow. It's really something. We lived in Alaska as it was a territory for 10 years prior to the convention, stayed here for the first 10 years after the convention. Due to circumstances, we moved to the state of Minnesota, but our interest has always been in Alaska, and it always will be. We hope that the day may come when we'll be able to come back and enjoy, perhaps even contribute in some way to this great state. If we can't, as I mentioned the other night, it would not be surprising if some of our children move back here. It was quite a thrill to fly into Anchorage after being away 10 years and see that great city and the way it has grown in the past years. If weather permits and the pilots are willing, we hope to get out into the bush, leaving tomorrow, and visit the western part of Alaska. When I was here at the convention, this was, of course, of great concern that the outlying areas be taken into consideration in the Constitution. And it was interesting to note from some who represented the outlying areas here among the panelists that progress has been made in this regard. And I just hope that as you continue in your government, that you do give due consideration to the needs in the outlying areas. I would like to personally thank the panelists. This was really refreshing to hear the group react to the Constitution in the light of its being in use during the past two decades. And it was interesting to note the confirmation that was given to the document to a great extent. I certainly would not oppose another convention, but I think it would be premature to have one in the very near future. I think the secret of the future lies in something that is very, very important. Traveling in the lower 48, I notice something taking place that I hope never takes place here, and that is voter apathy. There's even a group that have proposed a Mr. Nobody for president. And they're really even trying to get Mr. Nobody's platform, so they will vote for nobody. I hope that never happens here. And I don't think the need is so much a different constitution or perhaps even amendments to a great extent on the present one. But we have a very, very important role to play as citizens coming next month, and that is to vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Delegate Maynard Longborg. And now it's my real great privilege to call upon the man who is mainly responsible for these meetings here and assembling the organization that put all of this together with the students and members of the faculty of this great university. I want to confess that I had qualms about these meetings, and perhaps I was right in my own right. But Vic, it's a real privilege and a pleasure to ask you to come forward and make a few observations. I want to tell you that you've done a great job. All of those who helped you have endeared themselves to all of the participants, the of the panels, and all of the people who are here who were delegates to the Constitutional Convention back in 1955 and 56. And please come forward.
I would just like to respond very quickly to what you, Bill, have said, to what Les Norland has said about what I have done. I won't say I feel humble, I never do. But I do want to be honest, which I sometimes am, and say that, number one, this wasn't my idea to start with. Number two, that there were a hell of a lot of people who shared this. First of all, this grew out of a meeting of about a dozen of our founding fathers, many of whom are sitting here, who decided that let's do something more during this bicentennial year. Let's have a reunion because we should do it. It's great to renew our acquaintances and our faith and just the joy of sharing the joy of what we had gone through together. But also the feeling was that during this bicentennial year, and because 20 years had expired, let's take a look at our handiwork. And it was also agreed that that look should not be taken by the delegates themselves. They should participate. But the delegates were really not the ones to judge the experience that we have had under statehood, that we had to invite others to share that with us, to give us their perceptions, to give the evaluation, to give the prognosis for the future. And this is how the format evolved. And another part of the initial decision was that we should share the whole experience with the general public. We should share it, as Bill said, with the students, the faculty, and sort of through Mike Stepovich and his great ways with the public beyond our halls. As so often happens behind the scenes, there's an awful lot